Meeting to order of the special meeting of the Cambria Community Services District. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. And we do have a quorum. President Rice is not going to be attending today. I got an email this morning. Since this is a special meeting, the public comment is on agenda items only. And before we move on to that, though, I would like to have Mr. Gruber make an introduction.
Thank you, sitting President, Vice President Berenger, and board members, members of the community. I just wanted to introduce Alan Labossiere. He's our interim finance manager. Alan was our finance manager for many years prior to Mr. Hernandez and prior to Patrick O'Reilly. So I just wanted to let you know that we have a very, very much appreciated and very, very competent finance manager at the helm right now, and I look forward to working with Alan for the next several months while we move forward with a permanent replacement for the position of the finance manager for the CCSD. So with that, thank you very much, Board. I appreciate it.
Thank you for that introduction. Is the finance manager going to go back to work now, or is
he's going to go back to work, yes. All right. I told him he didn't have to attend these meetings, and then he said, okay, I'll take the position. So,
thank you, Alan. Again, since this is a public comment on agenda items only, we'll move directly into the regular business of item 3A, which is to receive and discuss water, sustainable water facility and sewer rate recommendations from Bartleton Wells, and consider the proposed water, sustainable water facility and sewer rates and set a proposition 218 date. Should you introduce that, or is that good enough? Do you want to introduce that?
I think that was an excellent job.
Okay, so, and I do have some slips to speak. I'm going to assume that that all of these here are on 3A, and if someone wants to speak on 3B, let me know later. And we'll start, I've got on, in the order of receipt, number one is from Mike Lyons, followed by Mel Dorn.
I think so. Thank you very much. I believe that the financial reports that indicate that deficit financing is, that we're in a deficit financing situation, are true. We don't have any extra money. Most or all of the excess expenditures that can be cut from the budget, operating budget, have already been cut. We cannot efficiency our way out of this crisis. I accept the staff's priority list of crucial infrastructure projects that they presented. These are the things we should move forward with now. It doesn't make any sense to discuss this too much further or to study it to death. We can have the examples of Los Osos delaying for such a long time that the cost of their remedy was up many, many times. In this morning's paper, on the headline about Morro Bay's situation, they've also delayed and delayed until it's cost them many times the amount it would have if they had taken action. Cambria, we can all remember, if you've lived here long enough, just how many studies there were at great expense without the boards and the populace's ability to make a decision, and frankly, without the courage to do so. So I urge this board today to vote to move into higher rates according to the Proposition 218. Thank you.
Thank you. Mel Doran, followed by Tina Dickinson.
Okay, basically I had some questions, and I gave you folks some papers to follow along while I speak. So if you could just hold responses until I'm finished with the questions, I'd appreciate it. Basically, what I'm looking for here is something like a business plan all in one place. First question was, where's the balance sheet, which shows projected revenues based on 10-year historic numbers? That's current revenues, which would show also, based on the projections, the number of proposed rate increases over the 10-year period. Well, since you went out for 10 years on expenses, you should be able to do that with revenue projections also. Number two is, are the expense figures based on competitive bids? I don't know where these numbers come from. They're just out there. If they're not based on competitive bids, what are the probabilities that they will be at or below the stated amounts? That information isn't there. Have you done a risk assessment, and if so, where is it published? We just had a trade war declared with China. We're going to have one with Europe. We have one with Canada right now, and Mr. Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, doesn't think this is going to go very well, so these numbers may not be accurate at all. I don't know what you've done to look at that as a possibility for those numbers in the future. The water facility draws $3.1 million over a 10-year period. What are the assumptions that justify these amounts, and what are these assumptions based upon? Again, no information. Historically, we have always seen these numbers below the actual expenses. Why not now? What are the contingencies for containing the expenses? I don't see a plan for that. Surely you've thought of this and you have a written plan to deal with it. Please publish it. Some of the wastewater and water projects can be delayed. We can triage this to save some money up front. In spite of what was just said, I disagree with that. Why not do that? Also, I'm a little concerned about the water facility being folded in with this. We never had a referendum on how much money we're going to spend on this thing, including infrastructure improvements and repairs. Prop 218 is not a referendum. It's not the same thing. That's all I had.
Thank you. Tina Dickinson, followed by Crosby Schwartz.
Could someone please explain before you start the clock why the chair of the board is not here?
I don't know. I got an.
Nobody knows why the chair.
I got an email this morning that said she wasn't going to be here.
Okay, could you please start the clock then for me for my comments?
Sure. Yeah,
Thank you.
I'll reset.
Okay, Tina Dickinson, Cambria. I'm going to restate my concern, or one of my concerns raised at yesterday's meeting, as to how and or why the analysis that was provided for the proposed rate increases did not include $733,948 that was identified in the fiscal year 2018-19 preliminary budget report as presented by General Manager Gruber at the meeting at this hall on June 21st. Alex Handler's consultant for Bartlett & Wells, who prepared the rate study and analysis for the proposed rate increases, gave the third of his three presentations prior to that report that Mr. Gruber gave on June 21st. His presentation proposals did not include the $733,948 that remain in the SWF reserves at that time, on June 21st. His analysis showed zero, and it shows, and that's what I have highlighted here, zero in reserves for SWF. We started out with a million, then we were down to 733,000, but for some reason, it's mysteriously disappeared. If the district is not being transparent with monies that are contained in the district's funds as they are asking for rate increases, then I would ask the question as to how they can be considered legitimate. If $733,000 is missing out of the analysis that's given and the proposals that are going forward for rate increases, I'm sorry, folks, that's money that needs to be accounted to the public. You have not done that. I was out of town for the June 28th board meeting, so I spent much of the evening of June 22nd, when the agenda came out for the June 28th meeting, reading through the expenditure report. As I said yesterday, I was stunned to learn how much was being spent on the first bank card related to legal fees paid to Lieber, Cassidy, and Whitmore under admin for harassment and retaliation issues. This is now the third time I've brought up Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore, and the thousands being paid to them. We, the public, don't know what goes on because we're not in closed session. But when we go through the expenditure report, Guess what? Guess what, Mr. Carmel? Then we realize what is being spent on. And so I copied and pasted some of those items that I found on June 22nd, the day the agenda came out, and I sent it to some folks, and I said, look where our money is going. For harassment and retaliation, for food to feed folks that are in meetings, for bottled water to be at every department, hundreds of bottles of water, thousands. We can't afford it. So I would just say this. In many cases, the only way members of the community have any sense of where our money is being spent is by going to the expenditure report. I cannot support
Crosby
the rate
Schwartz,
increases.
Followed by Don.
I
Archer.
Cannot support the rate increases, and I will be protesting and offering
Thank
a protest form to everyone
Crosby
who
Schwartz,
wishes to protest it.
Followed by Don Archer.
And you're being extremely rude, Vice Chair Beringer.
There we go. Thank you, Crosby.
Good afternoon. Mr. President, members of the board, and staff. One of the speakers at yesterday's meeting made a good proposal that I'd like to repeat for you now. It was proposed that you consider each of these three rate increases separately on their own merits and possible deficiencies. For example, the proposed wastewater rate increase seems to be well put together, necessary, and non-controversial, and likely to survive the Prop 218 protest process. The proposed water rate increases are a little less strong. There's a few capital items in there that should be discussed, but that's also not that controversial. However, the proposed SWF rate increases are probably going to be more controversial for several reasons. One, they will collect funds for hauling and disposing of wastewater from the SWF when the facility is not operating. This is probably not going to be a popular feature of this proposal. On the other side of the coin, if the drought conditions require us to operate the SWF facility more than the proposed rates will cover, the cost of hauling and disposing of the wastewater would have to come out of the general fund. During the board discussion yesterday, it was stated that if the facility has to be operated more than is anticipated, a surcharge could be imposed to cover the extra costs of the hauling and disposal. This sounds to me like an attempt to bypass the requirements of Proposition 218 by raising the SWF rates higher than what the not-to-exceed approved limit is. Another problem with the SWF rates is that it does include a stream of funding for capital projects, such as a new surface water treatment plant, that haven't actually been justified. It's a possible improvement in the future, but it's certainly not needed right now when the funding is tight. So basically, I think the board should consider moving ahead with the Prop 218 notice for the proposed water and wastewater rate increases and refer the proposed SWF rate increase back to the Infrastructure and Finance Standing Committees to resolve some of these problem areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Donald Archer is followed by Dan Howe.
Members of the board and Vice President Beringer, this is Donald Archer. I unfortunately could not make the special meeting yesterday, and I wanted to be there. I would have liked to have been there, but it was impossible. But some of these things may be redundant or have been explained there. But one of the things I'd like to find out is what I saw the Bartles material. But I wonder what percentage of the proposed rate hikes is going to be dedicated solely to infrastructure upgrades and repairs? And are these projects absolutely necessary or simply what may be desired by the district? We've been promised these things before. What guarantees will be in place that these proposed new funds will be spent as promised? many of us want to know, too, how many employees we actually have. That may be public record. I don't know exactly. And exactly what is the district paying for these positions from the general manager on down? This means being transparent not only about salaries, but also what perks and benefits the employees receive, including the cost of health plans, pension, retirement plans, transportation. For example, CCSD vehicles are used sometimes for people to go back and forth to work. What are the fuel costs that are paid to these trips? Are there any housing subsidies, et cetera, that aren't put into the salaries? And I just like to see that broken down for the entire staff. It would be good if that were proposed on the put on the website so that everybody could see it. How much do each of the departments cost the district? I mean, some of this was shown in the pies and so on, but they were saying, for instance, in the emergency water, that some of the staff was being their salaries were being put over there because they were doing time for that plant. I just like to know how much of each of the staff salaries and what is actually being going into the emergency water plant and any other department. I just like that to be made clear. Finally, these proposed rate hikes will be unaffordable for many of us on fixed incomes and will likely make living here impossible, even if our mortgages are paid off. So please take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. And my last slip is Dan Howell. If anybody would like to speak, please step forward.
Thank you.
For the slip.
Waiting for the clock here.
Oh yeah, I get that back. Okay.
There we are. Yeah, Don Howell, Cambria. You've all heard most of what I have to say, so some of this will be a repeat, but I did want to emphasize something. For one thing, I would hate to see the very, very needed sewer rate increase, clearly needed, and I would hate to see that go down, dragged down by an angry community who is not happy with some of the other aspects of the rate increase. And one of the aspects of the rate increase, which is particularly disturbing, is the speed with which it's going forward. I know that it took a long time to develop, but that it still takes a long time for the public to understand it and accept it. And I don't think that we have been given sufficient time, although yesterday's meeting was a very good one, and the town hall before that was good. But this is a complicated issue. So apropos of that, I do suggest that I concur with the previous speakers that it might be wise to separate out the SWF charges from the others, and I would even go so far as to hold off on the water rates. I'm just not convinced that September 1st is an absolute drop dead date for a lot of this, though I do see the necessity of the sewer. That really must happen, but I would hate to see that not happen as a result of a 218 protest. Now, I have a few questions. One thing that might be confusing to some is if they look at the agenda packet, they see that the charts from Bartle Wells go out 10 years, and yet what is on your plate today, I believe, is simply a three-year rate increase. That's what I believe the transmittal letter from the general manager said, that you're voting on a three-year rate increase, even though the charts show 5 and 10. And then a couple of specific questions. On page 41, I think, in your packet, table 10, this is regarding the SWF charges. It's just an explanation. I find it interesting, and I'd really like to know more about this, that the monthly base charge for commercial accounts is cut. Everybody else's charge goes up, but the commercial accounts for all but the 2-inch or larger meters actually goes down. And then if you will look at the next page, table 11, it indicates that a commercial user, say for 200 cubic feet, you'll see that the commercial users, a commercial user that uses only 200 cubic feet during a month will pay quite a bit less than a residential user would be paying for the same amount. That is puzzling to me, and perhaps is an example of why this kind of a little bit half-baked. I do also, in my last 2 seconds, firmly object to including the temporary SWF operating surcharge, rolling that into the total rates. That really, I think, is probably the one thing that most people would have a real big problem with.
Thank you very much. Dwayne Lee has a slip in, and I have no others.
Thank you. Vice President Behringer, board, and staff. Again, as we discussed this yesterday in the joint session of the Finance and the Infrastructure Committee, I would just like to say I think we need to take a breath, pause, and not get in too big a hurry here. I know we paid a lot of money for the consultant firm to work the proposals out that you've got, and I'm sure they did a fine job, and all the numbers, you know, all line up. But I just wonder if we have to be that stringent upon taking each one of those plans as this is the only way it can be, Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C. I would suggest let's take a breath here, step back, and, you know, let the Finance Committee have a shot at this and see what we can come up with. For example, as maybe a hybrid plan where we could give the water department, you know, a 5% increase over the next three terms as set up in the proposal. We might look at freezing the SWF charges for the next 3 years, seeing how that goes, how we have to run it, and what the expenses are going to be in running that, and that may have to be all looked at a different time. Looking at the money that we spent on the projects on the wastewater treatment plant, I don't think there's anybody that has looked at that wouldn't agree those need to be implemented. And I think with that being explained to the public, I think the ratepayers would accept that. I think we should give them some assurances that the money that we are collecting for the increase should go primarily to what is supported in that. And I think that would be very easily done. And as we discussed yesterday, given a checklist as to when this project these are started and these are finished, and let the people and the ratepayers see exactly what's been done and what progress has been made. So, you know, these are just some suggestions. I think we can do a lot of work. That's what the committees were set up to do, is to chew on all of this, look at all of it, and then advise the board on what we might suggest as to a step forward. It might not be anything, you know. It may be as laid out in these three, but I think we could at least step back, take a breath, and have 30 days more to look at this, because what I would really hate to see is this proposed and the ratepayers protest in such a manner that we're not going to get any rate increases, because the needs are there. We've looked at it, and we went over item by item. So there's, I don't think, any question there. And I think if the public is aware of this, I think we can get a rate increase with some support from the public. And with this, as we see that these projects are done and we get the district back in a better financial order, I think it will be a lot smoother road ahead for the board and the community, because I think what everybody wants is what's best for Cambria. I don't see, you know, two divisions here. I think what we need to do is work so that we can get the financial legs back underneath the district so that they can proceed and go forward. So that's thank just a suggestion. Thank you.
Okay. General Manager, would you like to address any of those comments that are being made?
No, I think we've pretty much covered them over the last couple of meetings or so. If there's one, any specific. But
do you know if the video from yesterday's meeting was out yesterday? Could you, other than watching it live, if people couldn't do it, did slow span have it?
We can check on the slow.
It was an excellent meeting yesterday, and I think it was very interactive. I think that we still have those charts, line item by line item, of things that are going to be done. I think I can answer some questions in that. In many, if not all, cases, they're educated guests on prices. We do have one thing that's a bid opening is happening on the 19th for the influence screen. But in general, those are historic estimates that the district engineer has come up with as far as the rates and how they were being looked at by both of the committees, I think was covered quite well. And I do, as far as salaries, isn't there a website or something that can you talk about that?
We're required to post all of our salaries and benefits on the website, and that's State Controller's Office also. So all that information is available on that site.
Right. And just as a general comment, there's been arguments as to if somebody can use a vehicle to go home or not. And the fire chief responds with as an emergency vehicle, and some of our people too, wastewater and water people, they're working 24/7 essentially. They're on call all the time. So for emergencies to come in with a vehicle that has a light on it, sometimes helps out quite a bit. And I don't know what the exact policies are, but
and we do
Mr.
have.
Gruber, can you tell me about that?
Just as a point of clarification, those salaries and benefits are on the CSD's website also.
Oh,
okay. Again, our focus is customer service, so we do allow for the standby people and the supervisors to take vehicles home to come back and in case they're called out, which they are most every day. They would have to go back to their workstation, get the truck, and then respond, as opposed to just responding directly to the call. And it's, as I indicated at a couple of board meetings or last board meeting, that it is really a standard practice amongst all municipalities, city, county, and utilities, PG&E, gas company, charter. I mean, if you were to ask any municipality, do they allow those standby people to take a vehicle home? And then there's the liability issue associated with somebody was driving their personal vehicle in and responding to a CCSD related call. The liability associated with if they were in an accident would far exceed the cost associated with them driving their vehicle in. So I hope that's helpful. So
I'll bring it back to the board. Any questions or issues?
I'll give some clarity to a couple of things that Mr. Archer may not have seen. Is one of the things we discussed yesterday was to put in place several policies in the next 4 months or so before we would even start spending any of this money, in order to better track the spending and to make sure that the money is going into the right places. We will be doing a new policy on budget and rates. We'll do a new policy on reserve policy so that we will be separating monies that will be put aside for budget overruns and capital working and capital projects separately, so that we can choose for each one of those. Also, one for CIP, actually how we're going to execute the CIP with a form on there that will delineate, okay, what the benefit is of that particular project, how much the project is going to cost, Whether we're going to do it in-house or not in-house, all of that information will be on the form. The form will come either before the Budget Committee or before the Finance Committee, and will be approved at that level and then brought up to the board, and then we'll approve it at the board level. So we've got and also an asset management policy so that we know what assets we have, and we can start looking at, okay, if this pump is 10 years old, how many more years can it go before we're going to have to replace it and stuff. So we're using the committees to write these policies and get them in place prior to us going, quote-unquote, willy-nilly down the lane and spending this money. We're going to be very circumspect with how we deal with this money after we get it.
Right. So. Right, and the Finance Committee was going to, as far as capital assets and CIP, will be on the Infrastructure Committee recommending to the Finance Committee things to do. There is a lot of, or there is some overlap, but there is a, you know, there's 10 people looking at that on a regular basis. So I think that the public, if they watched the activity that went on yesterday, would be pleased at the direction, if nothing else. I could entertain a motion, or no, go ahead.
Are we entertaining a motion to approve the rate increase?
Sure.
Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Well, before we do that, I'd like to make some comments.
Okay.
And some of the comments that I'm about to make kind of repeat what many of the remarks were made in public comment. And personally, I want to thank everyone that stood up and made the remarks that they did. And I would say I'm in agreement with almost every one of them. And even though there aren't many people in the audience, yesterday and today was just another reinforcement to me of the intelligent, thoughtful, caring, and responsible people that we have in this community that come here and give us their thoughts and concerns about the most important issues of this district, and especially right now with regard to the rate increase. So with that thought, I do want to comment on the fact that a number of people in public comment yesterday, as well as myself, would be interested in knowing, with regard to the current rate increase, which is in its third year, we'd like to know how these monies have been spent, what kind of infrastructure improvements have been made as a result of the money that has been gained from the current rate increase. Now, I seem to recall that management kind of gave a vague answer with regard to this. It was stated that the current increase was really not enough to fund any real capital improvements. So as I said, it would be helpful if we had specific details as to how and where the ratepayers' monies are being spent. Now, one of the improvements that was briefly mentioned yesterday by staff was the Fiscalini water tank. Now, it should be noted that the Fiscalini water tank was, that project was done before, if I'm not mistaken, the current rate increase. What was also problematic with regard to the Fiscalini water tank was that the project was begun before the plan, the project plan, and the environmental impact report was given to the state agencies that would have been where we would have had a grant funding available. So as a result, we were unable to get any grant funding for that project, and we had to spend $600,000, I believe, out of the general fund. Could have been the water fund, but I believe it was out of the general fund, in other words, ratepayers' monies, to take care of the Fiscalini water tank. So, as I say, we do, and as has been commented on today, the district needs money to make major infrastructure improvements, especially at wastewater. Yet, to me, decision-making, the wise use of monies, has been relatively ineffectual in the recent memory of this board member. So I'm somewhat reluctant to vote for a rate increase. I would only consider voting for an increase, and once again, this follows up on what some folks have said, if the majority of the monies went to wastewater infrastructure, some of it to water, maybe at a 70 to 30 or 80% to 20%, and zero to the water facility that was mainly built or proposed for emergency use only. Once again, it would be nice to know what specific tangible improvements have been made to water and wastewater with the current rate increase. And it would be good to know, well, we already know what the current CIP is. By the way, I do want to comment. This is from yesterday's packet on page 6. And it gives the 5 points as to the benefits of a capital improvements project program. And one of them is a focus on preserving infrastructure while ensuring the efficient use of public funds. I think one could make a make a statement or an observation that we haven't been preserving infrastructure to the degree that we should have, and we quite possibly haven't been making the efficient use of public funds. So the fact that that's one of the benefits, it would be good if that happens in the future. Also, and this has been mentioned before, many folks in Cambria on fixed incomes can't afford the upcoming rate increase if, in fact, it takes place. If the increase is improved, I feel that the district, in one fashion or another, could perhaps implement some type of program to lessen or remove the financial burden from folks who can't afford the increase. I know that might be problematic, but I think we should give it some thought. I appreciate the fact, and it's been noted in the Bartles and Wells study, that water and sewer rates in our community appear to be lower than other coastal communities. That doesn't necessarily mean we should therefore automatically accept a rate increase without having the absolute confidence and assurance that our district, meaning management and staff and, of course, the board, will use this money wisely and prudently. And also, and I've said this before, and maybe this should have been before my last comment, I believe we still need to impose, since we're strapped for cash, impose penalties and surcharges upon the residents that use more than their allotted amount of water, of water availability. If people want to use more water, without good conscience, then they should be giving us some monies so we can fund needed infrastructure improvements. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other board comments on that?
No comments, but I have a question for the
Sure.
May I comment just briefly on Director Farmer's?
Sure.
A couple of things. You would ask if there is a document to show what work has been accomplished over the last 3 years, and that would be a fiscal year 15-16, fiscal year 16-17, and fiscal year 17-18. And that document is the budget. The budget shows what has been done and what has not been done. Now, as you know, because of our rate structure, we have not been able to spend very much money at all on capital. But within those budgets, within those last 3 years of budgets, there are items such as repair and maintenance and things like that. Also, what I'm going to do at the next board meeting is I'm going to go back and include in the board package, but also have it up there, just to redistribute all the improvements that we've made. There were several months there that I showed for about a year period of time all the infrastructure improvements we've done. So the document that would show where the work is that's been done is those 3 years of budgets that was approved by the board, and then any additional information we can provide that. With regards to the Fiscalini tank, just as a point of clarification, there was not an EIR required for that, and the reason being is we used the existing footprint and did not increase the capacity of the tank. Therefore, it required just a relatively simple permit from the county, which was not appealed to Coastal. So, just as a point of clarification. There has been discussion about grant eligibility for that project or any project, and as I've explained to the board before, there's three components. to the grant process, which is having be able to match funding that's required, engineering of that, and then the environmental clearance. With the Fiscalini tank and with any other project, the way our current rates are, we simply won't be eligible. In many instances with grants and low-interest loans, whoever the agency is that's loaning you the money requires a match. It could be 25%, it could be 50%. It doesn't. It just depends on what grant you're going after. And the way our rates are right now is we do not have the ability to borrow because we, in our enterprise funds, our water and wastewater funds, do not have a surplus. As far as the helping people out is, on their water bills, we're only allowed by law to have a policy that addresses low-income families. So there's a cutoff point, and I think that's a good idea, actually, Director Farmer. And for the thoughts of penalties and surcharges, I think that staff supports that. I think it's an opportunity for us to generate some more revenue, but also to keep the folks that are using a lot of water in check. So I just wanted to. Those are policy decisions. So
there are some legal issues, and yeah. Mr. Carmel, can you comment on that? As far as
I think, I think there is some ability to provide relief for very low income families and individuals.
Right, and I think they should be advertised more. But as far as a 218 process, Bartles and Wells tries to stretch the limit to be able to charge people more for the more they use. But there's a legal limit as to that. Could you comment on that?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, there's a, in other words, you can't automatically charge. You can only charge for the cost of delivering the service. You can't charge because you don't like the person or they live in a certain area.
That's well stated. You can only charge the cost of the service provided.
Right, and I think that Alex was stretching the limit as much as he could to make sure that the people that cost more to serve are paying their fair share, and that's why on the sewer side, businesses are getting hit for the first time with a quality of water. So if they're a restaurant, it takes more effort on the wastewater department to clean it. Whereas if you're a real estate office and you never use the shower, you know that you don't pay those higher rates. So that's an aspect of the program that was very good. But getting back to Mr. Pearson, you were going to ask some other questions.
Yeah, can we go over the timeline of what we're facing here?
Absolutely. I think District Council could go step by step on that process.
Yeah, yeah.
You're referring to the 45-day
Right. So from today, if we pass today, how long is it going to take for us to get it out? And then how long we have to wait is 45 days. I know that. And then what date does that put us at? And when do we have to act on that, and et cetera?
Well, much of this has to do with when you want the rates to go into effect. But I think we've been talking generally about September 1st. And if that's the case, obviously the last day you could have your public hearing would be August 31st, which is a Friday. The notices would have to be mailed on July 17th in order to make that work. So there's plenty of time if you pick that as your protest hearing date, and then you can sort of back up from there. The 30th, the notices would have to go out on July 16th, and the 29th, they'd have to go out on the 15th, because we're looking at next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to deal with this.
And staff had indicated earlier that we needed to do some internal work regarding the Prop 218 notices to make sure that when the notices go out, they're sent out properly to our database, and we've accomplished that since our last meeting. So being able to get that information out, in other words, just make sure that we're cross-referencing everything and making sure that the accounts are all up to date and everything like that. So we've done our homework and we've accomplished that, and we're ready to go on our end. So,
and that's what got us here today. And the yesterday's meeting clearly had a recommendation that we implement the rates as in the Bartles and Wells that was originally projected in May, with one caveat and one change. And the change that was recommended is that the annual increases would not be automatic, that the annual increases would only be increased subject to board approval. And I think that that will give us a chance to really take a look at that. Also, both the infrastructure and the finance committee are going to be watching how we're going to spend the money. So if it turns out that we need to reallocate some of the funds, as long as they stay in their enterprise funds, we're going to be okay. But we need to start collecting those funds so that we can start spending. The option of not beginning this new fiscal year without additional funds, I don't think is a viable option. Director Ward.
Sure. So we're looking at September to July, a two-step increase, September and then July right away. Would it be more prudent for us to be looking at September to September if we're going to do a yearly review, so that way it just falls on the same day, same month, time and time, or do we shift when the second phase?
What's your thought?
The July date makes it coincide with the budget.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's really so we only get eight months.
Sure.
The first year and the next year we're going to get
it.
That. And also, I think both the infrastructure and the finance committee yesterday were recommending that we put these policies in place and we review, even though we have a 10-year projection for capital improvements and so on and so forth, that every 3 years we're going to go look hard at rates.
So when we come up on the second phase of the increase, what are we looking from staff as proof that they've held up their end? Because we're going to be looking at them to see how they've spent the money correctly. Was that kind of the gist of why we're looking at these yearly instead of them just being automatic? What is going to be our bar for them to jump over to prove that they deserve the second part of it?
Well, I think part of that is the fact that when we get enough money, because it's going to take us a while to
sure.
get enough money, and we start down the road, that the public sees that we are at every juncture vetting the project and making sure that we're bidding the project if it needs to be bid, and that we're doing it in-house if it's cheaper to do it in-house, et cetera, so that we can then once again go to the public and say, it's working,
mm-hmm.
okay, and we're making good use of the money, and at that point we would say, okay, let's approve the next year.
Will that be a policy that the Finance Committee is coming up with to
look at those?
To do that?
That's part of the CIP.
Great.
and the policies that we're working on.
That's a great way to hold staff accountable for this money that's coming up, because it's a big increase. There's no doubt about that.
I'd entertain a motion, or I could make one of my own.
Mr. Vice President?
Yes.
Just one last note. To be safe, staff's going to recommend that you not set the protest hearing any earlier than the 30th of August, a Thursday.
Yeah, I was thinking of. No, any earlier. I was thinking the 30th because it would give us an extra day for some reason. And it's a Thursday. It's when we're normally here. It's actually a week after our regular meeting.
The only thing I might suggest is we could move the beginning of the rates to November and then not be so pressed on the time and stuff. But
there is analysis by paralysis, and our first speaker was quite.
I understand.
Quite, and we're not going to be collecting this money for a long time, so we're not going to be spending it for a long time. So I think that the community will.
Yeah.
We'll have greater confidence. These standing committee meetings, by the way, are open to the public and quite informal. So take a look at it if you haven't seen it.
I'd like to hear a little bit more from the chairperson of the Finance Committee with regard to his comment that he just made about maybe waiting a little bit longer to implement the rate increase and perhaps steady it a little further. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, the only delay that I would consider would be that the new rates don't go into effect until November 1st instead of September 1st, and that would just be so that we're crunched here on the 45 days and we got to be on the 30th
well, one,
to get it done.
But
just a comment, though, that it's a billing, we're a 2-month billing cycle, so in other words, we won't want to wait all the way until November, to try and have a billing cycle in between a month. So,
November would be the 2 month. November 1st.
September, October. So we're losing 2 months.
Yeah, we'd lose 2 months.
2 months. It's 2 months of revenue.
It's pushing things. I'm with it. And if we hadn't been kicking the can down the road the past,
right? And
so I am not in favor of kicking the can down the road any further. But that would be my only suggestion, Director Farmer, is to move that date, just so that the staff wouldn't be crunched on getting this out. Mr. Gruber has told us that they're ready to go with it, right, and that kind of thing. So,
right, especially if it's the way it was, it's. I believe that 218 notices are already written, essentially. But were you able to put into place the fact that annual review would be board approved? Remember that thing that came in yesterday?
Yes,
you did. Okay.
That brings up another one.
Yes.
Okay. In that yearly review, will we be able to go forward with the wastewater and water rate increase, but maybe not the SWF if we don't need it?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We were trying to coordinate dates.
On that renewal, the first one, which will be sometime, would come before us in May next year, okay? If we decide, yes, we need to continue with the wastewater rates as approved, and the water rates, but not the SWF rates, would we be able to say those two go, but the SWF does not?
You'll be able to address each one separately.
Right. Great.
And we'll be able to reduce rates if for some reason we're getting more grants than we thought or something like that. Well, no, there's a possibility.
The other thing that is true, right, is that these are maximum rates we would be setting.
Yeah.
We could come back and reduce those, right?
Right.
At the hearing, is that when we would do that?
At the hearing,
we didn't want to do these maximum rates that we're doing now. Okay, and we by then said, okay, we can back off a little bit on one of these rates. We would do that at the hearing date?
You'd have discretion to do it any time, but I think the most appropriate date would be the hearing date.
Okay. Thank you.
Good.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Director Farmer, that's me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The Vice President just made the comment that perhaps we could reduce rates as we get more grants. I just want to reiterate what I said earlier with regard to the Fiscalini tank. And while I apparently was in error with regard to the fact that we didn't need an EIR for that project, the fact that we began the project before we applied for a grant from the state was the reason that we didn't get that state funding. So as a result, we had to purchase we had to pay the entire cost of the Fiscalini tank as opposed to getting some state funding because we acted in haste. Just one more comment I'd like to make with regard to the efficient use of CCSD funds. It has troubled me that we were able to spend a little over $300,000 on a dog park and a parking lot, but we still haven't been able to purchase a new water tank over at the Stewart that is needed, a new Stewart Street water tank, or have we installed the influence screen at the sewer plant. Just an observation.
And you know, of course, you can't use enterprise funds for a dog park, but that's all. Do you want to make a motion or have a comment? Oh, Bob has something.
Yes, as far as the Fiscalini tank, that wasn't a grant, that was a state revolving fund loan. Or a proposed state revolving fund loan that didn't get completed. So it was not grant money. It wasn't other people's money, as they say, in the grant business. So that would have been a loan that the district would have been responsible for. So I just want to correct that. And then and just a reminder, the influence screen bid opening is on this coming Wednesday of next week at 3 p.m.
Good, and our hope is that it's less than the $300,000 that we said. So if we save some money on a redesign, it would be worthwhile. Director Wharton.
I'll make a motion to look at Plan B, the phased approach for a rate increase with the caveats that we put in that there's a yearly review. And
what's the date? Staff was recommending August 30th as the hearing date. The hearing date.
August 30th.
Yeah. Can we have a second to that?
I second.
Okay, I roll call vote on this then.
On this thing?
On this motion.
Director Wharton?
Aye.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
No.
Director Barringer?
Aye. Okay, that passes 3-1 with one absent. We'll move on to regular business number 3B, consideration to adopt a resolution updating the assignment of banking powers. Mr. Gruber.
Thank you, Vice President Barringer and board members. As you indicated, item 3B is a consideration to adopt a resolution 2018, updating the assignment of banking powers for the Cambria Community Services District. This is a housekeeping item. As a discussion under June 28, 2018, the board approved an assignment of banking powers with recent personnel changes. The following revisions have been made. Interim finance manager inserted, Alan Labossier, added Mary Clerk, Mary Chris Cox to the payroll tax deposit and payroll deposit, and added general manager to make inquiries and deposits. The last adapted assignment of powers has been revised and is presented in redline versions today for the board for review. So the attached documents, and again, it's just to make sure that our interim finance manager has the ability to do what he needs to do to accomplish his job. Thank you.
By the way, I don't have a copy of that. I didn't print it, so could I get a copy? Oh, okay. Thank you. I think the biggest thing I was trying to do is make sure that somebody didn't have all of the powers, and that was President Rice's major concern.
That's correct. President Rice brought up a good point, and that no longer is the situation.
Okay, and there's two signatures required in those that have the majority of the powers.
And also with regard to Pacific Premier Bank, I have view only. It's not appropriate for the general manager under any conditions, or a city manager or a county manager for that matter, to be able to have the ability to move funds around. So our administrator of the account is Ms. Madrid, and I just think that's a good internal control. I will say that I've met with Alan Labossier every day, and that everything within our existing accounts seem to be in order. So I just want to assure the board and the community and staff that and we've met with the bank several times, so everything is going well.
Thank you. Any comments from the? I see no slips from the public. Any comments from the board? I think that President Rice's concern that she caught was is addressed, and I appreciate that bringing it back to the board. I could entertain a motion.
I'll move that we adopt Resolution 20-2018, updating the assignment of banking powers for Cambria Community Services District.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll have a roll.
I just want to say this. I'm grateful we still have money to put in the bank. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Director Pearson?
Aye.
Director Wharton?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Vice President Barringer?
Aye. Okay, seeing no other business, we could adjourn. Thank you.